Hi everyone, Russ Thomas here from RST Coaching Academy. Welcome to a new episode of Money Talks, where we talk about money and how to make more of it. Here we are, folks, another episode of Money Talks, where we talk about money and how to make more of it. Today, I've got the honor of interviewing a new friend of mine from Portland, Oregon. His name is Bill Weston. He is a money flow guru, money flow expert, and he's going to talk about that and how he works with people to help them with their money flow. So without further ado, Bill, you are on front and center here, live on stage. And tell us your story, how you got into what you're doing and exactly what you're doing these days. All right, take it away.
All right, Russ. Hey, thanks for having me on today. Well, for lack of a better term, I started out in the mortgage business almost 30 years ago. And I actually got that job by accident because I just shut down a print shop that a buddy and I had run for a few years. And I needed something to do. So I applied for a mortgage broker job, thinking, you know, home financing doesn't go away. It's a long-term solution for me. Mm-hmm. And I actually got turned down after my first interview. The guy told me no, wasn't qualified.
He didn't want to hire you.
He did not want to hire me. And I had interviewed with two guys. And I said, oh, really? I said, well, who made the decision besides you and the other guy? And he says, my boss. I said, did I talk to your boss? He says, no. And I said, then I don't accept your answer. I said, the guy can't make a decision without meeting me. And I said, I'll tell you what, you get me an interview with your boss. If he says yes, you get me a desk. If he says no, I'll shake your hand on the way out. I got the desk, but that's how I got the job. I didn't take no for an answer. That was the bottom line.
Well, and you were not talking to the decision maker.
Nope.
That's one of the things in sales. In this case, you were selling yourself. You did not know that you were not talking to the decision maker.
Yeah. Yep. Until he told me.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, it's just my personality. I said, no, it's not going to work for me, fella. I'm going to make
that, it. And me, I'm make that it. Blew I his mind. You know, it's like nobody's ever said that to me before.
Yeah, if nothing else, I hope I was getting the guy's respect for saying something, but that's how I ended up in the business. And if you fast forward, that was in like 96, late 96. And if you fast forward about 4 or 5 years, I ended up being an independent broker. I was working out of my own home, home office. And a guy from an Australian bank showed up at my office. And for those that don't know, brokers, mortgage brokers sell loans for everybody else's loans. It's kind of like an insurance guy.
Sure.
You know, he represents many carriers. So this guy that walked into my office, he introduced this Australian mortgage, you know, flowing your money in and out of a line of credit. And, you know, when you flow your money in, it pushes the balance down to save interest. You pull your money out and whatever's left over is considered your net payment for the month. Hmm. So you just flow your money in and out of this line of credit. And again, this is back in 01 and 02. And for some reason, my brain, maybe it's because of the printing background, I just understood what was happening, you know, following the flow of the money. And I've really dedicated my life to it ever since. But the most impactful thing I did was in 05, I sat down and I wrote an amortization table specifically for this strategy.
Hmm.
Because there was nothing else, there's nothing out there like it.
And so this is a different concept than evidently this flow thing.
100%.
Yeah.
This was something totally out of left field for the American market.
Oh.
And in 05, you know, to build my business, I wanted to introduce this to CPAs and financial planners, right? To get referrals from them. That's why I built the amortization table specifically. Wow. As a tool to get referrals from money guys.
Hmm.
And, you know, that fell flat on its face because those guys are very traditional thinkers. But I had this amortization table and the Australian bank got wind of it and they ended up hiring me to represent them in Tampa. And so my job was to go recruit brokers to go sell this special HELOC loan. Well, that wasn't going to work very well dealing with brokers because I realized they didn't get it like I did. Most brokers are rate and payment guys, right? Quote the rate, quote the payment, get the check, move on to the next guy.
Right.
So I was going to starve to death, basically, relying on that. So what I did do is I grabbed a broker that did understand it. And he and I shook hands in a parking lot one day and said, you know, let's take this to the public because we're going to starve to death otherwise. And literally standing in a 130-degree parking lot with no plan, no money, just the spreadsheet, we shook hands and started our business. That was in August of 06. And here we are 18 years later, doing the same thing, teaching the same thing to people and kicking along. But that's how I got into this. It was strictly by accident. I was introduced to a great idea. It stuck in my brain and I've devoted my life to it ever since. And we could spend the next 4 hours talking about stories and what this thing has done for people.
So tell us a couple anyway. Tell us a couple of stories maybe.
Yeah. 18 years, we could write quite a book if we wanted to. The Life and Times of Truth and Equity. Well, the amazing thing is that we survived the bubble. When the bubble popped 15 years ago, we had like five or six lenders. I mean, this thing was starting to take hold. And when the bubble popped in, what was it, 9/09? We were the last man standing. All the lenders went away. There was a software company selling software out there at the time. They went away. Everybody's business imploded when the bubble popped because of their business model. Right? They were either selling loans or selling software. They didn't have a business model they could adapt to the new environment. And that's what we did. We didn't go out of business. We just changed our business model to adapt to the environment. And here we are today. And then we also survived COVID, which is an amazing thing as well.
Indeed.
So we've really been through the ringer over the last 18 years. And, you know, if I'm still sitting here talking to you, I got to be doing something right after all these years. You know, my program's got to be producing as promised, because you can't stay in business in this environment.
Right.
Not doing something right.
Yeah. So explain the money flow concept to us.
Okay. Well, I've had tens of thousands of these conversations. And before I get into my money flow, what I talk about, I pull people back to what are we doing today? All right. If we look at how we work as consumers. And one thing people understand, we are very good as consumers, very good at it, right? All you got to do is look at the freeways, right? Look at the lines at Chick-fil-A, look at look at the world around you. We're really good at what we do. We're working, we're pushing our money back into the economy. And that's really our job. If you think about it, the money flow is traditional consumers. We get a paycheck, it goes to a checking account, and then we redistribute our income back into the economy.
We like to spend money and buy stuff, don't we?
Well, then that's what we're supposed to do. We're consumers.
Yeah.
That's why we earn a living, right? Aside from a roof over your head, food in your belly, right? The basic needs, food, clothing, and shelter. Those are number one. And we're very good at keeping a roof over our head. We're good at spending money. You know, COVID was a great example of what happens when our economy is not in good shape, right? We don't ever want to see that again. That was scary to me, really scary. But the bottom line, back to the consumer money flow, check, paycheck, checking account, auto draft, cash, checks. We understand how our money flows through the system, right? And most people don't think about it too much because we're just living our lives. But if you think of that flow, where's the return back to the consumer for supporting the economy? There is none. The money, when we put our money into the economy, we get what we're paying for, and that's supposed to be our reward. But if you look at the money, we put the money into motion in the economy. Because if we're not spending, it's stagnant money, right? Mm-hmm. Money has to be moving through the economy to generate money for somebody. It's kind of like Amway, multi-level marketing. I know people think that's a scam, but Amway's been around since the 70s. They're a multi-billion dollar operation. Mm-hmm. And I deal with a lot of my students are Amway representatives. Mm-hmm. I see the kind of money they make. Some of these people are making a lot of money. Now, how do they make that money? Follow the money flow. Everybody's getting a little piece of the action. The top office is not keeping 100% of the profits like traditional business. Mm-hmm. They're spinning some of the profits down with everybody else. They keep the money in motion and then everybody gets a little hit off the spoils, yeah, right?
The bonuses. Mm-hmm.
It's really a brilliant business model, mm-hmm. right? And it's everybody else that's put it down that, oh, the guy at the top always making all the money. Nobody makes it. The guy at the bottom can't make as much money as the guy at the top. Well, that's every corporation in the country, folks. That's how that works. You know what I mean? Yeah. But the multi-level thing, if you follow the flow, it's being spun back to the consumer, you know, the participant. So they're getting a little piece of it. Well, in traditional, we just send it out there and it all flows to the top. And if you think of us as an inverted pyramid, right? Like this, consumers at the bottom, the money's flowing to the top and the top is getting too wide. It's getting too top heavy. So when you boil it down to what I'm doing, when you flow your money through a line of credit, and that's why my program is called Credit Line Banking, because we bank through a line of credit. And if you flow your income through that line of credit, it's treated like a big payment because it's a debt. If you're sending money to a debt, it has to be treated like a payment. Follow? Well, you're in the business side of the world. You understand a sweep account? A commercial bank offers a sweep account to business customers.
What does it do? It pulls money out of the account and puts it someplace else or something like that, right?
Exactly, right? Because businesses generally have a pretty large amount of money in their general operating account. And a sweep account is the bank will sweep a percentage of that money into an asset to earn interest or against a debt to save interest overnight. Uh-huh. And then they sweep it back to the general operating account in the morning so that business has their money available to them. Does that make sense?
So, and that's like an overnight process, you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what business banks offer that to their business customers. Okay. So they're leveraging their income for gain overnight. Leverage it for gain interest into an asset to earn interest, or leverage it against a debt balance to save interest. Does that make mm-hmm. sense?
Yep.
Right. Well, that's what credit line banking is all about, is leveraging your income for financial gain. Because that's how banks make their money with our money, right? They take our deposits and leverage them into Wall Street.
But they're just doing this overnight.
That's right.
This sweep thing is just an overnight process.
Yep.
And yet there's still interest to be paid and made overnight.
Yep, precisely.
Is
See, they're putting that money into motion.
Is that because of an international marketplace? Because even though overnight here, everybody's shut down in the world, there's business going on around the world.
Well, wherever they're putting the money, I don't know. That's not my expertise. And as far as what the bank is doing with that money, because I know the bank's doing it to make money 100% of the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They don't do anything without making money.
Right.
Right. So whatever they're doing. But the bottom line is, well, with debt is accruing interest every minute of every day. That never stops because interest is calculated on time. Mm-hmm. Balance times rate divided by time. Mm-hmm. So that's a 24-hour clock. And so that's why with an overnight sweep, you know, if you drop 10 grand against an 8% interest rate, you're saving 8% on that 10 grand every minute of the night. Does that make sense?
Yeah. All right.
Well, what I've done with credit line banking is I've taken regular consumer strategies and functions. I've taken the business aspect, the sweep account, and then I've taken C-suite banking strategies of leveraging income, and I've combined those three together to form credit line banking. So when we start with credit line banking, we start with a line of credit. It could be a home equity line of credit, could be an unsecured line, or it could be a credit card for that matter. But what I do is I help people get that right tool, and then I teach them how to get their income into sweep that income into that line of credit to save interest. Because when that money is swept into that debt, it reduces the balance and immediately creates interest savings right away. Right away. And
So
if you,
this is going to be done through your client's bank, or is
yeah.
this done through your
Nope,
system directly?
this is through the consumer's bank, consumer's checking account, because I don't offer any products. I'm not a bank, not a broker. I don't sell loans. I don't sell books. I don't sell tapes.
Okay.
I just coach, mentor, and I support. I teach people how to do this, and then I help them do it, and I follow them. I've got a specific service that I offer to keep an eye and to look over people's back and make sure they're doing it right and they're getting the most out of it. And I can get into those details in a second. But as far as the strategy itself is, I help people, you sweep that money into that line of credit. And the minute you do, this is an immediate interest savings to you. Because if you drop that balance, because that's the only thing that the bank has to charge you interest. So if you take your balance from here to here, you're saving interest immediately.
Even just overnight.
Overnight, every day, every minute of every day, as long as your money is suppressing that balance, you're saving interest guaranteed 100% of the time.
I'll be darned. What
And
a
now,
concept.
but you have to
So
pay. Go ahead.
let's say you've got $50,000 in your homeowner's line of credit, okay? Home equity line of credit. And you've got $50,000 in there or on loan, and you got $10,000 in your checking or savings account, checking account, you could move that $10,000 into that one day and then borrow it back the next day, and you've still saved some of that, you saved that amount of interest for that period of time. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly how it goes, right?
Well, that's
So
really
that
pretty
money's
simple,
sitting.
actually, isn't it?
Oh, it's an incredible thing. But what I do, right? The key to what I teach people is, because you still have to live your life day to day, right? But I don't want people to touch that money, because as soon as you pull the money back out, you're going to be charged interest. So if you treated the line of credit like a checking account, you'd pay interest on everything you're buying. Well, that's not wise. That goes against the grain of everything we're trying to do. Well, I help people establish bill pay day, right? We try to get, and I've got a specific process, procedures I help, like I have for people to do this. But most people have 30 or 40 transactions a month, right? Creditors, vendors, and merchants. Well, I can help people get all those paid on one day. So throughout the month, their income is saving them interest every day. And on bill pay day, the money comes back out of the line of credit, back to the checking account, and everybody gets paid. Right? Now, you made a comment, and I want to address it really quick because people are always thinking this. Because that line of credit is a debt and you put your income into it, people think that they're borrowing their own money to pay their bills because it came out of a debt, right? Well, technically speaking, because it's a debt, yes, you are borrowing money, but you're not borrowing money to pay your bills. You're going to get your income because that's where you put the income, right? Just because you put it into the line of credit doesn't mean it's the bank's money. It's not the bank's money. It's your money because they've given you access to this line of credit for 10 years. They don't, they're not, nobody's monitoring your line of credit. They don't know who you are, what you're doing with the money, and why you're doing it. They don't care. The only time that the red flag pops up and the bank looks at you is you missed a payment. That's the only reason they're ever going to call you, right? So you're not borrowing your money, you're using your income, you're just going into that new vault to get it. And that's what I call the line of credit, is just a vault. And when it comes to the interest in the bank is your business partner. They're your silent business partner because they have the platform that you need to run this program. They got the lines of credit, they got the online banking, they got the checking account. It's all the same products, there's nothing new, right? But they've got the resources for you to go screw them right underneath their own nose. Because when you put your money into that line of credit, you're taking money out of their pocket.
Right.
When you take your income out of the checking account, you've taken away their ability to make money off your money. Because nobody, when it's in that line of credit, nobody can go in and touch it. It's
that's
your
a
money.
Double, that's a double whammy against the bank then, isn't it?
You're
losing interest.
You
and they're losing well they're losing interest that you would that we would pay, and they're losing the interest that they could make on what's sitting in our checking accounts.
Yeah. And the funny thing is you're doing it by playing their game, what they do.
Yeah.
Don't do what they tell you to do. Oh, you know, keep your money in a checking account, low rate, low payment, because you think everything they tell you to do is there to make the money. And I'm cool with that. I'm not vilifying the banks, right? You know, everybody's got to make a buck, but it doesn't have to be at our expense 100%.
Doesn't have to be our bucks.
Yeah. So when you kind of look at my program, they're still making interest. They're just not making as much as they expected. Wow. So it's more of a balanced, fair game, because the consumer gets what they want, pay off debt, get rid of debt, because nobody wants debt. Nobody wants it. Right. And the bank wants to earn interest. So everybody gets what they want. But it's a more of an even game. Now, let me go back to the example, because I stopped at the money being in the line of credit, right? Yep. And then bill pay day, all right? So how does everything get paid off? Well, it's the difference between your income and your expenses, your positive cash flow. That's the net payment against the debt. So if you put in $6,000 and you took out $5,000 for expenses, that's a $1,000 difference, right?
Right.
Well, for that month, you paid back $1,000 worth of debt.
Correct.
That was your net payment against the line of credit. It was $1,000. The next month, if you put in $6,000 and took out $5,500, then you paid back $500.
Right.
The next month, if you put in $6,000 but you only spent $4,000, then you paid back $2,000. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And so if you could average $1,000 a month positive cash flow, $10,000 debt goes away in 10 months.
Yeah.
And the beauty of the line of credit, guess where all the money is? It's your line of credit.
Yeah.
The 10,000 is sitting in your line of credit. So guess what you can do? You can go take that same $10,000 and throw it at a mortgage, throw it at a car, throw it at student loan debt, put it in savings, put it in an investment, take a vacation. I really don't care what you do with the money. Right? But
yeah.
Now with this new strategy, you know you're not subordinate to that loan, because it is somebody else's money and you're making payments. Because that's the biggest problem with our debt. We're a subordinate. When we borrow money, we hang our head in shame. You know, I had to borrow money, and then we make payments and whatever they say. Right? We're a subordinate to the financial system. And what I'm just describing to you, my program wipes that away. You're no longer a subordinate. You're on top of the game instead of underneath it.
You're in control. Wow.
So I know that's a lot of heady stuff, and it's hard to picture it in your brain, but that's why anybody that's listening, I'll give you visuals. I'll show you what it looks like with your numbers. 90% of my time is educating people and getting to understand how this works and then how to do it.
Right. Now there's the example that you've given here was on a equity line of credit. Are there other financial instruments that can be useful in this whole concept? I think you mentioned credit cards.
Unsecured lines of credit and credit cards. You need a revolving line of credit, because it's a revolving door that makes it work. Right? Because, you know, with a closed-end loan, you give them the money and it's their money, right? You can't send your full paycheck to your mortgage to expedite its payoff, because it's a cash out refinance to go buy gas and groceries. right? So that's why those closed-end loans, we only make the minimum payment and we try to throw them a little extra or biweekly payment programs,
right?
Which work, right? If you're throwing anything more at debt, will speed up the process. That's a good thing. But it's just, to me, it's just not enough oomph. So a home equity line of credit we can use. And I'll describe the difference as I go through this. A home equity line of credit, obviously, it's secured by the equity in your home. It's a lower interest rate because it's secured. And depending on your equity position, you can generally get a larger line of credit.
Okay.
That's on a home equity line.
Right.
We can also use a personal unsecured line of credit, signature kind of loan. That's just secured by your good name and your good credit. That's going to be a higher rate because it's unsecured. Interest rate's all about risk.
Yep.
Banks, right? And so it's going to be a higher interest rate, but it's the same animal as far as the line of credit. You got a credit limit in and out. So that's the HELOC, the unsecured line, or a credit card, because a credit card is a revolving line of credit. Now, the difference between the credit card and the other two is that, you know, you've got all the other stuff on a credit card.
Yep.
Cash advance fees, you pay a different interest rate, the repayment's different, and the payment is a percentage of the balance, and there's all those idiosyncrasies
right.
involved with a credit card that don't come into play with the other two. And again, that's why I've got my service, because I'm your Sherpa. I'm your guy. I'm your wingman. So when I'm helping people through this, I lead them in the right direction for the right loan, for the right job, because they're not all the same from bank to bank from a functionality standpoint, what you can and cannot do with the loan, et cetera. And then when it comes to a credit card, again, it just takes a bit more logistical stuff to deal with on a credit card. But you can use all three and accomplish the same goal because your money's doing all the work. The lines of credit, the credit card, those are just tools of the trade. They don't do anything. They're like a vehicle. You're the one driving the bus. Your money's doing
all the work. So what is the favored way regarding credit cards? What is the favored way or the most common way of people extracting money from that particular line of credit called a credit card? Just the cash advance?
No, that's almost the only way you can do it.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, based on the bank's parameters, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's okay, you know, because I look at it this way. People, you know, they think interest rates and the interest cost. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's like the first doorway that they're scared to walk through.
Yeah.
Right. But I always tell people, look, if you don't want to pay interest, don't borrow money. If you don't want to pay taxes, don't earn income.
Don't make money. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And so if there is an interest charge involved, it's the cost of doing business.
Yeah.
And well, if there's
on the cash advance, obviously the interest is subject to interest, but it's often also subject to, what is it, a fee or something based on a percentage of what is being taken out.
Yeah. Yeah. Funding fee, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
It's like 3%, right? Uh-huh. So if you do a balance transfer for 3%, you get 0% interest. Okay, cool. But the 3% is interest. I don't care how you take the labels away from it. It's a tax.
Yeah.
It's tax. It's a tax for borrowing money. It's a tax. It's interest. It's whatever you want to call it.
Right.
It's cost. And there's going to, if you're going to live in this country and live the life, there is going to be cost. So don't be scared of cost.
Right.
Right. And when it comes to debt, people look at the short term and think, oh, well, I'm not paying any interest today or only paying 3% today, but I'm looking at 20 years down the road. You know what I mean?
It adds up.
I look at today, but what about tomorrow and the day after that and the month after that and the month after that, right? And it's the terms of repayment that are killing us. It's not the debt itself. It's the terms of repayment.
Huh.
It's not the interest rates.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I'm a real geek when it comes to this stuff. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the New York Federal Reserve puts out a quarterly report on debt and credit, household debt and credit. You ever seen it?
No.
I'm telling you what.
It's ugly, I bet.
It's a scary thing because our debt has doubled in 20 years. $8 trillion consumer debt to $17.5 trillion. Is that because of irresponsible consumers spending with wanton disregard?
Probably somewhat, for sure.
Negative.
No?
Nope. If you look at that report, right, most of the debt, over $12 trillion is mortgage debt. So the bulk of the debt is in mortgages.
Okay. Right?
And then you break it down to vehicles, student loans. Credit cards is the smallest percentage of our debt in that $17.5 trillion.
Hmm.
And if you start, if you, in that same report is a FICO, you know, credit score report, you know, 85, at least 85% of the population has a credit score of 660 or better, right? Now, what does that tell you? With debt, without debt, with debt, those are people that are making their payments.
Uh-huh.
People are being good consumers, are going out, earning a living, and they're making their payments. And if you look at the lower credit scores, and the lowest amount of debt owed, that's your 18 to 29-year-olds.
Hmm.
They've got the lowest credit scores, and they've got the lowest amount of debt. So what's that tell you? 30 to 40, 40 to 50, 50 to 60, 60 to 70. If you looked at that report and you look at the debt being carried by 60 to 80-year-olds, it would tell you exactly why we're having a problem.
Hmm.
Right. And it's you, how many 60? Well, you're in that age group. Do you go spend with wanton disregard?
No.
Buying stuff you know you can't afford? We don't do that in our age. We got a few years of wisdom behind.
Wisdom, right on.
So what does that tell you? It tells us that we're following a specific business model. We're following a model of banking and borrowing that's been set forth by who? Those people that lend the money.
Yeah.
Those people that earn money off our deposits. We're following a business model that somebody else has set forward for us. And if you listen to financial planners, you listen to the gurus, oh, don't pay off debt, right? Right? Take that 3% mortgage and take the difference and invest it. That's not happening, right? You only hear that on the news.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't... You know what I'm saying? But what they are doing is they're hanging on to debt because they were told by a financial planner that 3% don't ever pay that off because it's cheap money. Well, that's lunacy. If you look at 30 years of payments, because if you can pay that off in 5 years, and then you've got another 25 years of doing whatever you want with your money.
That you had been spending on paying off the loan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, I'll take 10% for 5 years on a loan. I'll pay 10% on my money for 5 years versus 5% for 30 years. Guaranteed 100% of the time.
Oh, yeah.
Because time is the killer.
Yeah.
Time is what costs you the money, not the interest rate.
Yeah.
The balance is what costs you the money, not the interest rate.
Yeah. Huh. Wow. So
again, it's all about the flow of the money. I know it's hard to picture and see this in your head, you know, you or anybody else, but anybody that wants the opportunity, I've got it all laid out to help, you know, pictorially help people put it in their brains.
I bet you do. Do you work for or with a certain income level of client, or does everybody, even the 18-year-old, have something that can help them in their deal, because they probably don't have a home that they can get an equity line of credit? Maybe starting out, and you said below the 660 credit score, unsecured debt might not be something, an unsecured revolving thing may not work. So what would work for those folks that they could make the money flow in and out of?
Well, if you're not lendable and you don't have a credit card already in your pocket, if you're not lendable, I mean, if you're, if you know you just can't walk into a bank and meet their parameters, there's not a lot I can do because
Okay. All
I'm
right.
not the money.
Yeah, I understand. Okay.
But you know, if you're 18, you're earning an income and you've got a credit card in your pocket, I can help you.
I see. Okay.
You know, and since we're talking about the younger generation, right? If anybody out there's got a credit card that's got a $2,500, $3,000 balance on it, and you're making $4,000, $4,500 a month, you should never pay interest on that credit card, ever. If your income is more than the balance in your credit card, you should never pay interest on that credit card.
That means to pay it off every month. Is that what
Well,
you're saying?
no, that means leverage your income against the balance to knock that balance off and then use that card for spending. You name one thing out there, point of purchase, that you cannot buy with a credit card.
Nothing. It's
Nothing.
all.
You can use 100% of your spending with a credit card, virtually, right?
Right.
So if you had a $2,500 paycheck, that and you don't have to worry about rent or mortgages or anything like that. $2,500 out of that check is all spending. And you have a $2,500 credit card. Pay off the credit card to zero. That wipes out any interest.
Yep.
Then use the card for spending. And then another paycheck's coming.
Yeah.
Pay off what you spent.
Well, that's what I said. You pay off your balance every month.
Yeah. As long as your balance isn't over your paycheck. But yeah, that's
Right.
you just stair step it. Do, 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 do.
Right.
Right? And you'll never pay interest on that. You'll get rewards on what you're spending. And you know, if you're not spending more than you put into it, you're just leveraging that balance away and bye bye.
Yeah, well, and you said rewards on your spending. So if you've got, like a cash reward program on your credit card, then you're going to earn, 1 to 2% or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. And
And
guess what? If your line of credit is at 10%, guess what your savings percentage is on your line of credit if it's at 10%? Your savings rate is exactly the same as the line of credit, 10%. And I've got people that they've got lines of credit that are virtually interest-free because the rewards on their credit card are more than the interest they owe on the line of credit. Right? They got a
Pretty cool.
$75 interest payment on the line of credit and they got $100 in rewards off the credit card. Right?
Yeah.
If you just look at the numbers, your spending is paying for your interest on your line of credit. It's a
Right.
beautiful thing, my friend. I
Yeah,
mean,
yeah.
this happens every month, every week with people that I work with for 18 years.
Person just needs to know that that's available and
Yeah.
make use of it.
And that's my
Indeed.
biggest message, that if I want to send a message to your listeners, everybody, you just need to know you have an alternative to how you bank and borrow to get more out of the system. You
Yeah.
don't have to just be the blood bag for everybody else.
Right.
Do what they do to get more out of what you're doing.
Is there a way, like the sweep concept of, if a business gets their account swept and overnight put back in the next day, doing this in and out with the line of credit or the credit card, is there a way to track really in dollars and cents what the individual or the business is saving on, say, a monthly basis?
Absolutely.
How does that work? How would that, how do you do it? How is it done?
Well, it all comes down to using a calculator and knowing how the math works, right? So you got your interest rate that they're charging you, right? The ink on the paper, 10%. And then you've got your effective rate. The effective interest rate is based on the actual cost. Right. So if we've got 10,000 interest or 10,000 on the balance at 10%, that's $1,000 for the year. Right.
Okay.
And if you rent conventionally, you'll probably spend $1,000 for the year. However, if you run credit line banking, let's say through credit line banking, your interest cost was only 500 for the month. Conventionally, you pay a thousand. $1,000 for the year. With credit line banking, you're paying $500 for the year. I'm sorry, not $500 for the month, right? You've cut through credit line banking, you've cut your interest cost in half, but you didn't change the note. You just manipulated the balance to calculate new interest, $1,000 versus $500. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, if you do the math on the $500, that equates to 5% interest. $10,000, $500 for the year is 5%. $10,000 at $1,000 for the year is 10%. Right? So $1,000 a year is 10%. $500 is 5%. 5% is your effective rate because you cut it in half through the manipulation of the balance. Effective rate is 5% based on the 500 over conventional. You're at 10% based on 1,000 because you ran conventionally. Right. So I teach people how to calculate that themselves.
Is that done on a yearly basis or can it be?
I do it on a monthly basis.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask. Yeah.
Right. I didn't go into that in our conversation because it could get too convoluted, right? Because again, most people don't even know how interest is calculated. And it's not their fault because there's no financial education in our school system in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, I know. Well, you've got the interest rate, then you've got the APR, which is the annual percentage rate.
They're all the same thing.
And then you've got what, a daily rate, dividing the interest rate by what, 360?
Yep, 365. Yeah. Well, this is how interest is calculated on a mortgage, on a closed-end amortized debt. Balance times rate divided by 12. So for cars, student loans, etc. And then for revolving, it's balance times rate divided by 365 to get the daily rate, and then multiplied by days in the billing cycle.
Yeah, okay.
But it's all simple interest, all of it. You can, any debt, that's how you calculate the interest.
Got it.
Okay. Now, if you think about that, balance times rate divided by time, right? Now, I always tell people it's not the rate that's costing you money, it's the balance. So if you've got a 20% credit card, brand new in your pocket, and you haven't borrowed any money, how much do you owe in interest?
Nothing.
So 20% times zero is zero. No balance, no interest. Now you went and spent $5,000 that you can't pay off. So now you got $5,000 balance on it. Now there's interest, right?
Yep.
The balance is what costs you the money, not the interest rate. So that's why my whole program is attack the balance, attack the balance, attack the balance, attack the balance. To either save interest or get rid of it. Because the faster the balance goes away, the faster that cost goes away.
Yeah.
And this works for business or personal, because it's just the flow of the money.
Yeah. So you're teaching people really how to save money in this money flow world.
Absolutely. Just by changing the flow of the money.
Yeah. And one of the ways to make money is to save money. So yep. The more you save, the more you've kind of made, and you've got it at your disposal instead of, in this case, the bank's disposal or the credit card company's disposal.
Yeah.
Does this work then with, say, like a high interest credit card? I mean, I've seen credit cards that are, 25% interest.
Yep. Well, I help people cut that 25 down to 12.5. Right? Because again, see, we've been taught that these interest rates are an entity upon themselves. Like they're a higher life form than we are. It's a number. It's an interest rate. It's not a financial strategy. It's either a source of cost or a source of gain. That's it. It's just a number.
Yeah.
And if we can, it's just like on the asset side, right? If you've got a fixed asset at 5%, the way to make more money on 5% is to give that 5% more money, right?
Yeah.
Or go chase a higher rate.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the same rules apply on the credit side of the ledger. All the numbers work exactly the same.
Yeah.
You're just moving in different directions.
How in the world do you get a 25% interest rate down to 12 and a half? You've got that's got to be negotiated with the credit card company, doesn't it?
No, because we're talking about the effective interest rate.
Ah.
Because if we can if you can manipulate the balance, you'll manipulate the cost
Okay.
100% of the time.
Right.
And how do you manipulate the balance? You give it more money.
Yeah.
Well, how do I live my life and pay my bills, Bill? Well, use the credit card. It's still a spending tool. That's what it is. It's a plastic card with numbers on right? And so, yeah,
Wow.
we don't have to fear these things, the interest rates. We don't have to fear credit. Credit is a tool in our society that's never going away because if we take away credit, say goodbye to the economy.
That's the truth, isn't it? We're living on credit.
Yeah, but you know what? That's what we've evolved into. And you and I are close enough in age, right? How many credit cards were your parents holding in the 70s or the 60s?
Maybe one.
Probably none. And it was a diner's card,
Yeah,
right? When did ATMs come around and debit cards?
gee, I don't know.
89,
Huh?
late 80s, right? And credit, Diners Club, the 70s, Visa, MasterCard, and then it went nuts. And it's
Yep.
our generation, at least mine, right? 90s is when credit went nuts.
Wow.
That's when our credit life took off. Because other than that, it was just not part of our society. It was evil. It was a shameful thing. But when I give you the stats now, we went from 8 trillion to 17 and a half trillion. It's not because we're irresponsible, it's because credit is required to live the American dream. You don't get an education, you don't get a car, you're not going to own a home, you're not going to have anything without credit.
Yeah.
Now, and the problem with the credit that we're holding is not that we have it, it's the terms of repayment.
Yeah.
Because if you break down the average paycheck, based on underwriting guidelines out there, 35 to 45% of the paycheck is going to debt service. Right? This is average. Now, this is 3,500 to 4,500 out of a $10,000 paycheck.
Yeah.
Right? That's gross income. And you're losing 30 to 40% to taxes and 401ks. There's another 3,000 to 4,000. So of a gross paycheck of 10,000, you've lost your $6,500 to $8,000 of it is gone.
Spoken for right off the top,
Spoken for. So
basically,
you
yeah.
have to live, you have to try to support a family on $1,500 to $2,000.
Yeah.
And with the economy and all that, people don't have a problem paying for gas and groceries. They don't. They have a problem making $800 car payments, $3,000 mortgage payments,
Yep.
right? And funneling money into a 401k that is no longer real. 401k money is not real money to the consumer. Those are because we don't get to play with that's untouchable money. It's only real
Right.
to Wall Street because
Yep.
Wall Street's making a lot of money off our money.
They love it. They love it.
So if you break down the paycheck, people don't have anything left over. How much do a rule of thumb, having a 6 month emergency fund is phenomenal advice, right? How much do you think the average American's emergency fund needs to be for 6 months?
Well, it would have to be significant,
Yeah.
pretty
Forty
good.
to $50,000, right? How we're not good savers. How there's nothing left. That's years and years of savings to get to that, right? It's going to take under the current model, right? And I'm not vilifying the consumer. Everybody's doing a good job, doing the best they can with what they have. But if we're living by the model by which we're living, nobody's paying off debt, and there's no way to have an emergency fund. No way. There's nothing left.
And a lot of people, a crisis comes up, medical emergency or whatever, the roof leaks, or most people don't have the cash reserves to deal with that because they haven't been able to set anything aside.
And it's only because they're following a business model that's not built. The business model is built to help consumers get to consume, but it's not built to help them grow. Everything, our money flow helps everybody else grow, and we're the blood bag. What do you think of Dave Ramsey?
I've listened to his material, getting out of debt and so on and so forth. I haven't been following him of late, but why do you ask?
Because I didn't hear this directly, but it was printed that here's Dave Ramsey's recommendation to the public. Do not buy a new car until your net worth reaches $1 million.
Oh.
Right? Get what's going to happen to the car market under that advice?
I
Just
don't
that
really
advice
care.
alone will destroy the automobile industry.
I don't really care what
Because,
happens to the car market.
well, we should, because it's a major part of our economy. But
Yeah.
under Dave's advice, nobody's going to have $1 million net worth. That's impossible. It's almost impossible for the normal American to achieve that.
Yeah. Well, Grant Cardone, who I follow and study and mentor in my business, he says that $1 million is now the new middle class.
Yeah. Well, guess what? You know how many people got $1 million net worth?
No.
Because I deal with, here's another thing about me. There's one thing you and everybody else should know. In 30 years of doing this, nobody has ever had to take an elevator to my office, which means I've never worked at the executive suite level, right? I've been at the lobby level dealing one-on-one with people for 28 years. And with under Truth and Equity and Credit Line Banking, what do you earn? What do you owe? What do you spend? And right, everybody's budget. I see all of it before I even bring anybody in as a customer. And I work with every minute fiber of the American fabric. Guys pushing lawnmowers at golf courses. I've got an NFL Hall of Famer. I got DOJ employees. I mean, every minute fiber of the American fabric.
Cross section.
And I'm telling you what, people don't have $1 million net worth, and they never will. And it's not because they're not capable, it's because they're following the traditional model, right? Oh, I got 40% going into my 401k, and I've got the lowest rates and the electric cars, and I've got everything that society is telling me to do, which is leaving nothing left over. To build a life. And the
Indeed.
same thing with businesses. Businesses struggle the same way because 9 out of 10 businesses run their business finances exactly the same way that they run their home finances. Different tools, different products, but it's still that scarcity mentality and low rates and low payments and just feeding the machine, wondering how we're supposed to live up to the standard. And it's
We
only because it's a flawed business model.
yeah, indeed. And we fall into it at an early age and can't get out of it oftentimes, for sure.
Well, I don't know if
So
it's falling into it, if we're just directed to it. I mean, we've never been given another choice. What are how many times have you stood at the crossroads of managing my personal finances and have several different options? You got one: checking accounts, budget, low rates, low payments. So I'll shut up for now.
So what would you say as we wrap this up here? Couple of statements of direct advice to the audience.
Boy, that's almost another whole show.
I think, to tell you the truth, I think this whole conversation has been about advice to the audience.
Yep.
Actually, yeah, right.
Well, my first point of advice for people is, if you're looking at yourself and your personal finances, do not blame yourself, don't shame yourself, and don't feel like you're lost, right? Because you're only working with what you have to work with mentally, and the system has failed you. You haven't failed the system. And so Force yourself to step outside the box and learn something new.
Yeah.
That's most important, because technology, our money is the only thing that hasn't changed, you know, with tech through the years. Technology wise, our life's totally different. Technology's changed the way we move the money. But that first advice, open your brain, learn something new, and don't shame yourself. Second of all, best advice, an interest rate is not a financial strategy. It's a number. Do not make financial decisions based on an interest rate all by itself.
Okay.
I could go on and on.
All right. So now, next question. How can people reach Bill Weston in order for Bill to go on and on?
All right. Well, first, my last name is Westrum.
And not Westrum. Pardon me.
No, that was my fault from earlier. All right. The best thing to do is to call me directly.
Okay.
Go to my website, truthandequity.com. I'll be honest with you. I hate that website. It drives more people away from me than it does anything else. So
why
come
is that?
Directly.
Why do you think that is?
Why is that?
Yeah.
Because this is, go ahead.
Too detailed, too technical, or what?
Yeah, there's just too much, and you know, it's too good to be true, and it's a scam, and it's, you know, it looks like a mud duck, you know. I just don't like it.
Okay.
The good stuff, you know, it's just like going into a restaurant. The outside of the restaurant might look like crap, but once you get inside, boy, that is the best food you'll ever have. And I'm kind of that same way.
All right. So
the package looks like it's wrapped in burlap, but there's a golden nugget on the inside.
All right. And you are the golden nugget in this conversation. So yep. The phone number of choice is
352.
Uh-huh.
232.
232.
1751.
1751.
And that is my direct cell number. So I'm giving the world my direct cell number.
Oh, my goodness.
Come at it.
Yeah. Worry not with your phone calls, folks. That's 352-232-1751.
Yep. Or if you want to just email me, I'm bill@truthinequity.com.
All right. Truth and equity?
In
equity.
Inequity.com.
Good deal, folks. Brand new concept. Stretch your brain a little bit. Get some more input onto how you can help yourself in a financial world here with money flow. That's what Bill's all about. And he'll teach you. He's standing by his phone right now for you to give him a call day or night, or email him at bill@truthinequity.com. So, folks, that's it for Todd today, and we're going to bid you adieu till next time. Did you have a parting word, Bill?
My parting words, moving forward in this world, this economy, be lean, liquid, and independent.
Lean, liquid, and independent. Go
Best
for it,
folks. Best advice I can give people moving forward.
All right, good deal. All right, folks, thanks for tuning in. We say over and out until next time. Okay, bye-bye.
Hi, thanks for being here today for another episode of Money Talks. I hope it was informative and encouraging to you. If it struck a chord in your heart, or if you have any questions or comments, please let us know. Visit us at rstcoachingacademy.com, call 386-286-2450, or send an email to email@rstcoachingacademy. Thanks again, and until next time, be great.